The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. We are the Alpha Male Radio, and go out to motivationmuscle.com and check out the two ebooks. They are not going to be on the website in the next week or two because we are changing a lot of stuff on both Fiorello Barbell Company and Motivation Muscle. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the information out there. I know there's well over 600 or 700 shows there. Today, before I bring him in, we got our good friend Steve Slater on. He and I have done one show. We're doing another one today, and I'm sure we're going to do many more down the road. But check all that out. Anybody out there, you can see that. Let me think. Is there anything else? No, but I'm going to give you a little bio on Steve here, and then I'm going to bring him right in. Number one, if you haven't heard him, he's a husband, father. He's the VP of Slater's Hardware. Obviously, he manufactures the stone molds. He's a strong man. He makes the strong man logs. If you go out on Facebook, look at how beautiful they are. They make them right there at the hardware store. Obviously, we know he makes the stone molds there. He's a strong man, too. And I want to welcome Steve to the show. But before I bring Steve in, we're going to do a thing that's great because Motivation Muscle has fired up so many people to learn and want to lift stones. Now, obviously, Steve is a pro with this, and we are going to talk about how to build stones. Obviously, they are going to be the Atlas stones. And this is going to be a good start for anybody that's ready to graduate now to an Atlas stone. So, Steve, welcome to the show, brother.
Eric, how you doing, buddy?
I am good, and we are glad to have you back. Anything I missed, you know, give out the website, anything you want to add to your introduction, and we will start on building stones.
Okay, yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm real excited. As far as our website goes, it's SlatersHardware.com. So that's SlatersHardware.com. And on that website, you'll see that we have, it basically tells us about the hardware store and what we do, but we have instructions on how to make Atlas stones and, you know, some of the stuff that we do there. You can check that out. You can also go to our Facebook page, just, you know, Slater's Hardware Facebook page, check that out. Or hey, you know what? You can even call us if you want. 740-654-2204. We pick up the phone. We'll talk to you. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. through 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So you're not going to get an answering machine when you call us. We're going to pick up if we're here to help you out.
And I could testify to that because I've known Steve long before he came on M&M. And to be able to get the VP and the owner, one of the owners of Slater's Hardware, it's like here, too. It's very rare you're going to be able to make contact at that point. So, see, these are the luxuries of dealing with people that are very good at their craft and very dedicated and want to spread. It's not only the stone lifting. They're just dedicated to strength, and this is very important. So, Steve, with that lead-in, obviously stones are very popular. We know that they're in all kinds of events, et cetera, et cetera. But we also know there's a segment of us that have them in our backyards. I know some gyms have them in there. But what I've met up with, and I'm talking for myself personally, I know a lot of guys, I know girls too, they have a lot of stuff outside, and a lot of us like to prefer to train outside. And I don't care if they freeze or not. I take care of that with a little torch, all right? So let's go in a little bit to the Atlas history. And then let's talk about why, and this is great because you got into something that it was very original. You didn't have to go out searching because we know most stones are going to be a river stone. Some people construct them. I've seen different ways they do them. But you have an actual mold because I've made them. I have your molds here, and they come out exceptional. So let's get into a little bit of the history of it and the why, if you would, please.
Well, yeah, sure. I guess the history of it with me is we promoted strongman contest. Wes Sims, who's an MMA fighter. He and I, real good friends. He was a member of my gym, and he came to me and said, "Hey, let's do a strongman contest." Well, we got all the gear together except for the Atlas stones. We held a few strongman competitions without the stones. I then bought some stones off a buddy of mine, we used those. But the problem was we didn't really have a lighter Atlas stone that we needed for, you know, the guys that were lightweight. We had them heavy all the way up to 360, and back then that was like, you know, that was the top of the crop right there.
Yeah.
And we didn't have anything under 280, so we had to come up with an idea. And luckily, I had, you know, here at the hardware, we have some pretty smarter than me employees, you know, guys that have been around for years.
Sure.
Years, machinists, things like that. And we came up with the idea, and we made it happen. So my first stone that I made was a 16-inch Atlas stone, and it was 172 pounds. So we had, you know, out of necessity, we had to create something, and it was great. So now we had smaller stones for our competitions, and then I thought, well, you know, why not introduce these molds to the public?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse Ori Barnett, a local promoter here in Ohio, was my first customer, and a lot of the listeners may know of Jesse Morunde. He was my second. And then Jesse and I became good friends, and he taught me a lot about stone lifting. It's been cool. So
go ahead.
Yeah, you're fine. Go ahead.
Well, let me ask you this, Steve. I can't remember how small the one I had one, and I gave it to a friend of mine to build smaller stones. Now, we're embarking on a project, and I can't really go into any depth of it, but stones are going to be involved in this, and it's going to be a very interesting, and I'm going to give you a call because I need to talk to you about this. I might want to involve you in this if you're interested. What is the smallest size stone in an Atlas stone we can make out of your molds?
3-inch.
Okay, so what would that be like? What would we be talking weight-wise, say? You know, a younger kid, maybe an older gentleman or lady. What could we start at a weight then at 3-inch?
Well, 3-inch Atlas stone would probably be good enough for, like, I don't know, a gerbil to play with. You know?
Okay. Let me ask you this. Could we start out with a 10-pound stone?
Yeah, we could do a 6-inch. Sure. We do 6, 8, 10, 12. Talking about a youth, maybe a 10-inch.
Okay.
You know, something like that.
Well, because, too, I've always done we'll take a loading pin because I've got one out there. I can't remember how big it was. It was pretty big. And I loaded that thing on a loading pin with, I think, about 15 10-pounders or something like that, and sunk it right in the middle of the stone. And man, oh, man, you know, most people think, oh, it's a 300-pound stone. I'm like, wrong. It's a 425-pound stone. And they're like, how? I was like, this is what we did. But I'm not going to rain on your parade. So, okay. So you're
part of my parade, man.
Thanks, man. So here's the thing. So you come up with this ingenious idea now because out of necessity, let's be honest, the majority of people walking around aren't going to walk up and pick up a 250-pound stone. Instead, I'll even go further than that, and this is when we've had Bill Crawford on the show, which is very interesting because I learned the hard way too. It really doesn't matter how good of a deadlifter you are. I want your comment totally on this, whether you agree or disagree. It does not cross over to stones. And I'm talking river stones, Atlas stones, steel Husafell stones, the whole deal. Now, you and I both know, because we have mutual friends, and this has been impressed upon me by so many, is if you don't have the finger strength, you're doomed when it comes to a stone. Now, I'm going to make it quick. Bill's had some pretty strong people over at his house in New Hampshire that had a hard time with like a 220 or a little bit bigger Atlas stone, and they can't understand it. So enlighten us a little bit and let me know if I'm on the right mark too, that just because you deadlift big or whatever you do does not equate to a stone. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. If you think about the opposite, if you're a good stone lifter,
right,
you're probably going to be a pretty darn good deadlifter. Mm-hmm. And actually, when we first started, I went down to Knute Viovatin's place where we go train in Cincinnati.
Yep.
And, another guy came down from very, popular powerlifting gym here in Ohio. He met us down there and, he was trying to pick up I know it was just right above 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And actually, it wasn't a man-made stone. It was man-made. It was a limestone that was carved brown. And boy, that thing was tough. I remember the first time I put my hands on it. Are you kidding me? I finally got it. This other guy was at like a 700-pound deadlifter.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get it. And then talk about just totally messing up with somebody's mind.
It really did.
Exactly. You got it.
I wish that I knew back when I started what I know now with that stuff. I think stone lifting, with a few other things, and that's your primary lift, I think you could be deadlier than a rattlesnake. I mean that. I'm going to talk to you offline. We'll talk after we get done with the show. I want to talk to you about some things. All right, so we get the molds, and I know I saw the last big stone was that 500 pounds Brian Shaw picked up and put. Okay, that was one of your molds, obviously. What do you think at this point? You're around this stuff, and I know everything's coming up soon with the Arnold. What are you thinking now? How big of a stone? I mean, you're right around these guys. What do you think? Is there going to be a limit? Is there not a limit? And how big of a? I mean, you got to have a certain mold, obviously, to put together a 500 or a 500 plus stone. What are you looking at now? I mean, you got to feel the pulse of everything.
Brian's got I made Brian a 629 or 628.
Wow.
And he's lapped it. You know, I haven't talked to him about loading it.
Yeah.
I know that he's lapped it.
Yep.
That's a 21-inch stone, so that's got a 300-pound lead core in the center.
Holy cow.
You know, what you think about it, what back in the 80s, there was a 300-pound Atlas stone was like one of the heaviest stones.
Right? Yeah.
Now the insert alone in this stone is 300 pounds. I mean, like, it's crazy. So you're asking me what the limit is? I have no idea.
But now, Steve, are you the one that would build a stone for Brian, or is that something he does, or what?
Well, no, I've built a lot of Brian's stones.
Okay.
Eric was competing. I built a lot of his. Travis built Ortmeier 600 pounder.
Yep.
I kind of grew up in the sport as these guys are growing up in the sport too.
Sure.
And we're just all lucky to have each other. So.
Well, let me ask you this. This is really interesting because of the depth of how these stones, not only the size, but the people coming up now. And we're not talking WSM. We started this off in the beginning where it's like you guys have friends. There's people probably in neighborhoods that, you know, the guys all hook up and train and do all that. What's the science, you think, of building a good sound stone? Now, I've built ones that look like hell. But they're very, you know, you lift them. And then others that look just dynamite, very smooth, not a hell of a lot of little pinpricks in them or anything. But tell everybody out here, what do you feel, if there is a secret to building a good, round-looking stone using your molds, what is it? What is there? I know it's just pouring cement, like they'll say, but there's got to be something else. So enlighten us a little bit on that.
Yeah. Of course, we've got some YouTube clips out there you can watch.
Okay.
But, you know, much easier for me to show you than it is to tell you. But on our website, you can go and you can see, like, instructions on how to make Atlas stones.
Okay.
Check that out. But, as far as you need a good mold first off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one nice thing about our molds is, you know, I guess when we first started with the molds is I wasn't thinking we're going to turn around and sell these. I was thinking I need one that's going to last and I'm going to make a bunch of stone.
Yep.
Right. And then, okay, wow, that's a cool stone. Somebody call you and say, hey, I'd like an Atlas stone too. Okay, let me find out how much it's going to cost to ship that.
Well, sure.
Okay, $700 to ship. Gosh, I can't do that. You know, and he's your buddy. You're like, okay, well, we have molds. Why don't we just make that work? You can make, I don't know how many. But we had a customer call me. He said, hey, you know, the black retaining ring on there popped off. I'm like, gosh, that shouldn't happen.
Yep.
You know, I can send you another. But tell me what? Why did that happen? He goes, well, I made 300. Right around 300 stones with this one mold.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, who in their right mind would, I guess we're not the right mind, but, you know, who needs 300 stones? And this guy was making them for, you know, he was selling them, not for strong men, but, you know, he was a concrete guy. You know,
yeah.
That's what he did.
Yep.
So, first you got to have, I guess, a good mold. And mm-hmm. that's one thing about ours is I made them for myself to be quality. And then, it was so good. We didn't want to ship the stone. We wanted to make the mold. And then that way, all my customers get the quality that I expected from myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, not that you're going to get 300 stones out of one mold. That guy, he was good. I mean, I've made hundreds of stones probably, but not 300.
Yeah.
So you want to start with a good mold. Then you want to, I guess, some things you need to do. When you first start with the mold, you don't really need to lubricate it because it's so slick on the inside.
But, okay.
You know, aggregate is going to have a tendency to scratch the inside of the mold. And then you may have a difficulty removing the mold. So we always suggest using a lubricant.
Yep.
And, you know, the one thing that's worked best for us is a product called TriFlow, Teflon based lubricant. So you don't want to put a whole lot of that inside the mold. You just want to spray it in there, kind of like, you know, you're spraying a frying pan cooking your eggs.
Yep.
You don't really drench it. And then you just wipe it off. And then our molds they're basically two hemispheres. One side has a retaining ring, the other side does not.
Yep.
So it's going to go into it kind of like a plastic Easter egg, I guess. So it kind of snaps in like that. You do have to tape our molds together, and we suggest using Gorilla Tape.
Yep.
I used to use duct tape. That was fine. If you have duct tape, that'll work. But Gorilla Tape is waterproof. So that, and it's also really heavy duty, and you know what, it doesn't leave any residue on the mold either, where, you know, you peel duct tape off, you've got the fiber on the whatever, you know, so Gorilla Tape works really well with that. We have all these things on our website to help you.
Okay.
You know, with the stone making process. So I will put enough Gorilla Tape. I've seen guys Gorilla Tape the whole mold before. It's like, wow, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Personally, what happened to me is I got a little cocky with it, and I didn't use enough Gorilla Tape a few times, thinking, oh, you know, I can do this, I've done this a lot, and then the mold just starts to pop away.
Yep.
Like, it's just being stupid, you know, just being too cocky. So you want to make sure you use enough tape, and with the instructions it shows you how much tape to use.
Okay.
But it's going to cost probably about 50 cents to a dollar.
Yeah, which is nothing. I did mine. I stuck mine in a tire.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Would you suggest still? I mean, do that? Can you just leave it on the ground? What's your feeling on that?
You can nest it, but before we get into that's the next step.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, what I like to do, and I found it, did this once, is I didn't have enough tape once, but I had some shrink wrap.
Okay. Yep.
Shrink wrap. So I used that. It worked really well. So what was good about that is when I cut the shrink wrap off, the mold was clean. Because that shrink wrap type encapsulated the mold. So when I cut the shrink wrap off, so there's one less step I had to do. I didn't have to clean the mold up after it's done.
Okay.
So I like that too. So I'll duct tape shrink wrap. And that holds it really tight.
Yep.
And then you cut the shrink wrap off, the mold's clean after you're done.
Nice. So, yeah.
But yeah, about the nesting of the mold.
Yeah.
You can nest it in many different things. I think probably one of the best messing techniques, I guess, would be if you get a galvanized tub.
Yeah.
Put sand in it.
Yep.
Kind of scoot the sand away, and you know, so you can just nest that mold into that sand.
Yeah.
That's going to make you probably one of the nicest stones. And the reason being is our molds are made out of very durable plastic.
Yeah.
In order to get it, to keep them from cracking, you need to have some flexibility.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yep.
You don't want it to be too rigid or crack. So because of that, if you nest, say you get a 21-inch mold and you nest it in that 360-pound concrete inside there, and you're nesting in a tire, you have to be careful that tire, you know, doesn't squish down, and now the bottom of the mold is resting against the concrete on the floor or whatever the surface is. That can leave a flat spot on the bottom side of the stone or the mold, and you don't know it until you're done. You roll it over.
Okay.
And off, right?
Okay.
Use a tire. If you use a tire, make sure you use two of them.
Yep.
Keep that from happening. You stack them up. Another thing that could happen is that bead on that tire may be pretty stiff.
Yeah.
And if that's stiff, then you may see an indentation on that stone when you pop it from the mold.
Yep.
It's not going to bother you other than the fact it's like, oh man, I wish that wasn't there. And when you go to lift it, you care. It's fine.
Steve, you know what I'll do? If it's bad, I'll just take my trusty grinder out.
Yeah.
Grind it. You know, that's the fun of stones, man.
You can have
a lot of fun. And I don't want to interrupt you, but I know we're getting near time too. I've done it two ways. I've mixed the concrete with the color in a wheelbarrow and had a put it in that way, you know, with a shovel. And I've also, a buddy of mine had a mixer. So, and I think this is a big question because a lot of us don't have mixers. Is it mixing it in a wheelbarrow with a hoe and then putting it in that way? Or do you have a better way of doing it for the average guy or gal in the backyard?
Well, I have a better way of doing it as far as cleanup goes.
Okay.
But another thing, you can nest that mold into a 5-gallon bucket.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
5-gallon bucket. What I like to do,
yep,
so I kind of lessen the chance of putting a bead around it,
yep,
is I put a towel in that 5-gallon bucket or an old blanket.
Okay.
So I take that, and then I set the mold into that blanket, which then is on top of that 5-gallon bucket. And
it gotcha.
Helps to keep that more rigid.
Yep.
But as far as the what we're talking about, the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as the mix goes, the way to mix is, you can do it however you want. If you want to get a mixing tray or wheelbarrow or whatever. I typically use, as far as the mix, I like to use Sack Creek.
Yep.
Okay.
Sack
Creek 5000 or Sack Creek 5500.
Yep.
That's a really good mix. Quick Creek 5000. That's a good mix.
Yep.
We always try to include fibers in the mix. That's why we offer. You don't need a whole lot of fibers, just enough.
Yep.
That'll help keep that mold or the stone together. So you want to mix it, and the best way to mix it is in a concrete mixer, but obviously that no one knows.
I was just lucky that time, and I will tell you with the mixer, that was like so easy. You know, and the stone looks so damn good when it came out of the mold. I got to try to remember. I haven't made one in a while. 2 days, is it, you leave it to sit, or 3 days?
Well, that all depends on the how hot it is outside.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, it's really hot outside, and, you know, a day later I can come back and take it from the mold. But if it's cold, then it's going to take a little bit more longer for it.
Yeah, I don't think I could pour one this time of year.
Yeah, but the concrete mixer is really good.
Yeah.
We have something, when I went to one of our hardware shows here, they had a concrete mixing bag.
Wow.
I was like, man, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because I used to have to, get a concrete mixer or mix, you know, it's very labor intensive, or not very labor intensive, but it takes a while.
Sure.
But the concrete mixing bag, all you do is open up your bag of concrete and it's standing up, and you take this mixing bag, which is really heavy plastic sack.
Yep.
You dump that concrete into the plastic sack. You pour your water in there that you need. You hold onto the bag. It comes with a tie. You cinch it tight, and then you kind of roll the bag around for, 5 minutes or so. It makes for a kind of a good workout.
You know,
with 80 pounds of concrete, 90 pounds of water. You put about 10 pounds of water in there.
I like that.
Yeah. So it works pretty well. You just want to mix it up really well. Sometimes you have to press it down, you press your feet down on the bag.
Yeah.
There are any pumps in there.
Yep.
But if you work it, it's going to be, it'll be a really nice mix for you. What's nice then is you can pick that bag up and, pop it up on your hip and you just pour it right into the mold.
Nice.
And you repeat. And when you're done, whatever's left in that bag, you can leave it in the bag.
Yeah,
just leave it there, let it set up. The next day you come, just knock it out of the bag.
Nice.
It'll just knock right out of the bag. You can reuse the bag. The bag probably lasts for, I don't know, maybe 4, 5, 6 stones. It starts getting a pinhole in it. You can just put a little bit of Gorilla Tape on that pinhole and you can make it last a little bit longer.
Thank God for Gorilla Tape, huh? It's as good as having a hammer. It'll do anything, man. That's the way I look at it.
You got to come out with our own strongman tape.
Yeah. I know we're at time, Steve, and we can get you back if we want to talk any more about this. But if you got anything you want to add just to shore it up, we can do that now. We've got a few minutes, I know. And if not, we'll get you back very shortly. We'll get you back in February, and we'll do part two if you want to. That's up to you. But summarize anything you want. Obviously, give your website out where they can get a hold of you. And obviously, if you have a phone number, you'd want to give out where they can actually speak to a human breathing person. It's all yours. Then I'll give my info and just hang on the line if you would, please.
Yeah, that sounds good. You know, I guess as far as when we talk again about this, I think we'll go in the how it separates the mold.
Okay.
How to do that. We'll go into, and it's pretty easy. Basically, it sets up. We have a tap stick and you can separate the mold. But I think what we ought to do is focus on how to finish this.
Just okay.
Like you said, how to finish the Atlas Stone.
Okay.
And make it into one of the best lifting implements or stones. We'll discuss all the secrets on how to do that.
Okay, that sounds good.
Once again, there's some really good stone lifters in Ohio, in Columbus. One club is called Team Boss in Columbus, and those guys are awesome. Brad Ardrey, shout out to him. He's one of the best stone lifters in the world. Lifted a 501 Atlas Stone on their 36-inch platform.
Wow.
As an amateur. He's a beast. And a lot of those stones that have come out of Team Boss have learned a lot from those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Also Steve Schmidt.
Yep.
Has a great place there, great training club there too. Some really good stone lifters in Ohio, Andrew Durniak and others.
Sure, he's on the show.
Yeah, right. But as far as how to get a hold of us, you can call us. If I'm not here, you can ask for me. If I'm not here, leave a message and I'll try to get back with you. But our number here is 740-654-2204. If you want to email me, my email address is steve@slatershardware.com. And then you can check us out on our website at slatershardware.com. Or you can go to our Facebook page, which you can, connect to our Facebook page from our website if you want. So,
is that it?
I think that's about it, man.
Okay, just hang on, please. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the 2 free ebooks. All we need is your email address, as I said before. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Obviously, this is the second one I've done with Steve. We'll have a third one next month. We'll finish up building stones. I know our listeners here will go bananas when they hear this stuff. Also, too, go out to I'm trying to think if I want. Nah, I'm not going to worry about that. If you like our show, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. Obviously, we are all over the place. We are in so many directories now with millions and millions of people on there. Go out there. If you have the capability to get podcasting in your car, and if you have a new car, you do, check us out on AHA Radio. That's AHA. You can get Motivation Muscle right in your car 24/7. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Steve and I to do, Fiorello Barbell@nicap.r.com. And I'm going to give you a multitude of things right here. Number one, if someone seeks you in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to inspire folks. Five words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile, because that might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as our creation here, the Hoosa steel stones, which are steel replicas very similar to the great Húsafell stone of Iceland, we have one called Domination. It's one of the four here. And this is what we always say. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. We dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in our path. As I always say, no one's going to ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the very beginning and who's been a guest on our show, when I listen to your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That was one of the nicest things anybody's ever said about us. We will keep that with us the rest of our lives, I promise you. That's what it's about. That's what we want to do, create great men and women here that'll go out and help other men and women. And you got to have the strength, all three of you, to do this. So we will keep that up, Russell. Obviously, too, I'm going to leave you with a few other things. Frank Klein, who was my greatest marketing business teacher in college, used to say repetition, repetition, repetition. My father, who we lost many years ago, used to say to me, among many things, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for years and who was like a father figure to me, because I lost my dad many years before I met up with John. John was the consummate gentleman. He would walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself and not smile. John, my dad, and Frank would be very proud of what I'm doing, and I know damn well they're with me every day among my brother Jimmy and many others, believe me. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're coming for you. We will not knock on your door. We will put our foot through it. Join our revolution. Join our family. We plan on being here for a long time, and if some things go right, which they seem to be, there could be a huge announcement in the next 2 weeks about this show. And should it all transpire, wait and see what's coming your way now. It will be phenomenal. So I'm thinking about that all the time right now. So as the great Russell Fur says, you know, obviously about the testosterone, but we'll talk about some other things right here, is Les Brown always says that you have greatness in you, and go out and listen to this gentleman. You talk about inspiration, but we'll take it a little further. We believe in you, and we got your back, and there aren't many people in today's world that will do that. Stick with us. I'm telling you, this will be the greatest 28 years of your life. Steve, thanks for coming on. It's great to have you back, and Happy New Year, sir.
Eric, you too, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Anytime. You're always welcome here, sir. So, for Steve Slater, this is Eric Fiorello. We'll do part two of stone building next month with Steve. We'll get all the nitty-gritty on it, and there's going to be a lot of announcements here anyways. So all I can tell everybody is have a great weekend. Go out and do something magnificent, because you all have it in you. So for Steve Slater, this is Eric Fiorello. We will talk to you soon, and have a super weekend. And this show will be up either tomorrow or Sunday, so we'll get it up very quick. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.